will. Sarah, you bless me and the congregation. Amen. I want to be like Sarah. Hey, we're going to talk about pride again. Because my pride was pricked last 2 weeks ago when I preached about pride, and I just didn't feel like I did very good. So we're going to try again, and we might try for the next 6 months. I don't know. Let me just tell you what I do in the morning. I get up early on Sunday morning, and I normally have my sermon all done, notes and everything. By the way, in your notes is not the notes of this morning. That's what I thought that was so excellent. That was John Piper who wrote that. And some really good stuff. If you haven't recognized the pride in you, just read some of that stuff and you might catch some things. So I get up real early this morning. It was about 5:22 and 30 seconds. And I got up and I started my day. And what I do is I meditate. I do a lot of meditation. Think about, rehearse in my head the sermon. And as I'm doing it, I'm going to be preaching about pride. I stopped and I started laughing because I visualize what I'm preaching in my head, meditate on it. And I start laughing because I was so arrogant in preaching about pride. And so I did my best. And I asked God to help me, but He didn't help me. Because I kept doing it a certain way. I'm going to fight against that. But I have pride and I have arrogance. And I think part of it, here's the thing. I hope this morning that I offend everybody. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm shooting for. You know, I was thinking not too long ago about offending people. And because we shouldn't try to offend people. We should, and I'm going to say this a little later on, everything we should do, we should be at peace with people. We should be mature enough, no matter where they are in their life, God, no God, arrogant, sin, whatever they're, we should be at peace with people. The Bible says that, makes it very clear about that. And I was thinking, man, you know, I can understand why people would be offended by us because we're sinful and we're frail and we're arrogant and we're proud, even as Christians. And I thought, man, they would never, if they just keep, people just look at Jesus, they wouldn't be offended. And then, I mean, that thought lasted for about a half a second. Wait a minute, they crucified because they were offended. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ without it dynamically doing something to you, either an offense or falling on your face before Him. You can't do it. You can't be a Christian or a non-Christian and have no kind of relationship, no kind of... If you are that way, you need to get saved. I'm just telling you. You've got to come to a place of surrender to Jesus and seeing Jesus, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. As I was preparing or meditating this morning, I realized what was happening to me and what I was considering this arrogance that it was, but I was angry. I was angry. I was angry at pride. Angry at pride in us. And how we sometimes take pride in our pride. It's just so funny. I mean, read the Facebook and you see what I mean. I haven't read it in years. My wife helps me out every once in a while. The first scripture, We're going to put it on the overhead for you. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Okay, a haughty man, a proud man, destruction is coming, baby. Before the destruction, there's haughtiness, there's proud, there's pride. And before honor, there's humility. Humility comes first. If you walk in humility, at some point, there's going to be honor in your life. Pride is an ugly, ugly, ugly thing. And I want us to see that this morning. I want us to see how ugly it is in us. I want us to get angry about it in us. I'm going to name some things, and you're going to think that I have read your Facebook. I haven't. Well, one or two of you. But anyway, I haven't. We're just going to talk about some very practical things. Hopefully, I'm going to get to that. That's kind of what I missed 2 weeks ago when I was not happy with it. About pride in us. It will bring destruction. It's ugly, ugly, ugly in us. The next scripture, Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Okay. Now, wait a minute. There's some other things that God says when abomination. But we don't think of pride as that. We don't consider pride, let me tell you, pride is so incredibly damaging to our Christian life. It will ruin you. It causes division in the church. It causes division in families. It brings heartache to teenagers, teenagers to parents. It does all kinds of evil. It's destructive. It is one of the worst sins that there is. It is an abomination to the Lord. Pride. Now, I did this 2 weeks ago. How many of you have pride? Let me see. Okay, good. Now, so when I said this 2 weeks ago, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to the ones who didn't raise their hands. A person, Proverbs says this through and through, and I'm just going to interpret my own. A person who thinks they are wise, they're foolish. A person who thinks they are wise, they're a fool. A person who thinks they are wise, they're a fool. Now, I know that sounds weird, so how do you know if you're wise? Well, if you're not seeking this, because this is what has wisdom. And what we do is we take things that we've heard here and there. I mean, I recently heard some, I want to be careful here. I'll say teenagers. I heard some teenagers talking about some things from a biblical view. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. And I wondered to myself, what are the parents teaching their kids? Or where did they hear that? Where did they get that concept from? And some of them thought that they were very wise in it when all it was foolishness. Is that getting too close? All it was foolishness. What is wisdom? What is our life in God? Well, it's not to be proud. It's not to be arrogant. It's not to be a people who look at other people and look at yourself as better than them. Better than they are. Better than them because you go to a good church. You don't go to the Lutheran one. You go to Grace Community. Oh, it got quiet. I remember as a teenager, I know what I felt inside as a teenager. Man, I was fired up for God. I want to serve Him. I want to give my life to Him. I want to do whatever He... God, just as I am, I'm coming to You. Whatever You want me to do, God, I am going to do for You. Now, I was driven by that. Whatever, God, You want. But there was this thing in me that we were the only ones who really loved God. That is an abomination. That is an abomination to God. God hates that. He looks at that and he just is, it's his disdain to Him. He, get back. I don't want to touch you. That's evil. I don't want to be part of that. That's what pride is. Now let's turn in your Bibles to Luke 18. And just look at a little bit of what Jesus actually illustrates this. The Pharisee and the publicans. Not Republican. Verse 9. And He also told the parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. He's telling this parable to people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And let me tell you, that always breeds pride. As you trust in yourself, because you're good. You're good. You're better than most. You're smarter than most. Some of you have even finished high school. My dad got to ninth grade. And He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. So if you've ever done that, or if you see yourself looking at others with disdain or contempt, and you just don't like them, you think they're terrible in the things they do, those Catholics, you know, those whatever other religions that you might have throw out there, you have any kind of arrogance about that, well, this is for you. And of course, not for your neighbor, this is for you. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank You that I am not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, homosexuals, doesn't say that, but we might as well throw that in. Or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He saw himself as a sinner. Some people who see themselves as a sinner, they feel they can't approach God until they get clean. They're proud. They're so proud that they can't approach God till they feel like they approve themselves, and then they'll be approved of God. Here's a guy that felt ugly about himself. And can I tell you, rightly so, I wish we could just get fuzzy and sweet and loving and talk about a good self-esteem. And talk about how you're better than
you know, you should be, and you're wonderful, and
I'll let Mike do that. No, you are good. You are wonderful. I mean, this church is an amazing church to me. Incredible people here who love God, who are seeking the truth that is in Him, who wants to do right, who is trying to learn how to please the Lord. That's Grace Community. Who show mercy to other people. But we haven't arrived, have we? We haven't attained in which He has called us to be. We haven't come to a place that we can say, yes, I finally am righteous. I have nothing to lean upon except the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I go to my grave and I meet Jesus Christ, that's all I can say. I only have You. There's nothing. Nothing good enough in me to approach the Father. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. So, this sinner, this evil person, tax collector, and they were like, they're not like IRS today. No, there's laws protecting us. Well, they break some of them, but there's laws protecting us. And these tax collectors, they had a free reign. They just had to get enough money to keep Washington happy or Rome happy. And then they could, the rest is for themselves. And so they would get all kinds of money for themselves. They didn't care about people at all. This guy is feeling lousy about himself. And he sees himself rightly. And he says, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Have mercy. You ever pray that? Do you ever pray, have mercy? We sang that song, and that's one of my favorite scriptures, one of my life scriptures. Learned it when I was about 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You are my portion, O God. It's all that we have and all that we have to lean upon. But there is this thing in us, because we feel ugly about ourselves, that we have to put ourselves above other people. That's what I talked about 2 weeks ago. Where there's that psychological thing that we have to raise ourselves, and so we put others down. We have bad feelings about other people. We're righteous, they're not. And that's ugly. That's abomination. This guy, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He was standing. He couldn't look around. He was looking down. Lord, have mercy on me. I mean, he could have said, remember what the Pharisee said? Lord, I'm glad I'm not like other people. And maybe he turned and looked at that tax collector, and like the tax collector, I am so glad. I am so glad I'm not like him. Now we think, oh yeah, that's bad. It's really bad. Have you ever told the Lord that you're glad you're not like the Pharisee? Well, what do you mean by that? If you don't get what I mean by that, you're not listening. The sinner couldn't look up to those around him. He only could look to God because he knew he was a sinner. Dave Manning, I'll never forget when the light came on. Well, the light came on to me because I meditate on the scripture and that God, forgive me, have mercy on me. And I'll never forget my feelings. I am so glad that I'm not like the Pharisee. Do you see that? Do you see how evil that is? Do you see that that is no different than anything else than that Pharisee was putting on? Proud of who he was. Arrogant of God's mercy. Arrogant. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. Thank you for saving me. Oh, those people who don't recognize that they're sinners. They're all evil people. Okay. What happens to us is that we just one-up something. We one-up, we'll find something, well, for instance, and I've seen this kind of thing on Facebook, and it's laughable, and it ought to make you cry. Now, again, it's been several years since I've been on there, so if you put something recently, don't be offended. Well, yes, be offended. The wino who condemns the pothead. The church person who never gives anything to the church in tithe and offering condemns the guy who has the nice car. The adulterer. I saw this on Facebook many years ago. The adulterer. I just can't believe it. The adulterer who says homosexuality is abomination to God. Well, yeah. See, some of us, we don't get what I'm saying. It's all evil. It's all ugly. It's all sin. It's all an abomination to God. And yeah, no, I understand. I understand a homosexual shouldn't be proud he's a homosexual, just like the proud person should not be proud that he's proud and takes pride in his righteousness. And you read on the Facebook, you read the guy that has compassion on how Christians treat the homosexual. And so he says things that are just as ugly as the Christians. It's ugly. It's pride. It's sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is it getting too close to home? But one thing good about Facebook, they have a thing in there that you can push or you do. I've never done it, so I don't know exactly what it is, but you can do something on your page that you don't have to listen to those unrighteous people any longer, and you can delete their name. And then you don't have to hear what they... See, this is my arrogance. You don't have to hear what they have to say. What? Listen. Listen. Is that how you are? Are you a Republican and you never watch CNN? Are you a Republican and you never listen to the speeches of Obama? Are you a Democrat and you never watch, what's that other show? Fox News, yeah. What is all that? What is, you're just better than. And they just have junk. They just have bad stuff. And you want the truth. No, no. This is the truth. This is it. We're so caught up with the world. We're just like the world. We operate just like the world. And no wonder our nation is going down the tubes. Christians are just like anyone else when it comes to so many things in our life. What did Jesus say? You're on Facebook and someone pops you because of something. You stand up for Christianity or something. And what did Jesus say? Well, just delete that name. Now, come on, Christians. No, he said, turn the other cheek. Have you ever thought about sitting down with someone that sees things differently than you, who you would say are they're just sinners and ugly, have you ever just sat down with someone and talked to them to learn how they feel and where they're coming from? Have you ever had dialogue? No, you don't do that on Facebook, right? There's no dialogue on Facebook. If you don't like the dialogue, you cut it off. Oh, that is abomination. I'm just telling you, it's just full of pride in us. Peter said about Jesus, when he was abused, he didn't abuse back. The scripture, I hope I have this up there for you, in Hebrews 12:14. It says, pursue peace with all men. Pursue peace with all men. And sanctification. Sanctification is you're set apart for Christ and whatever Christ wants you to. But you pursue peace and you're set apart for Christ. If they want you to sin, you can't sin. But you don't have a pride and an arrogance. You do whatever you can do to be at peace with people. That's what you do as Christians. Are you receiving this? Okay. A couple of you are. Okay, good. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. You know, if I was God, I'd shout it out about Facebook, about all the pride and the arrogance and all that. I want to say a word. That Greek word, you know, but the children are with us, so I'm going to use incredible self-control. The anger that I feel about that stuff is like, if I was God, I'd shout out, stop it! Quit it! Grow up! Come on! There are people who are dying and going to hell, and you're fighting about nonsense. You're making issues about all kinds of things that I died for. Dialogue with people. Talk with people. Lay down your life with people. Thank you, Lonnie. Encourage me afterwards, Lonnie, would you? When you look, the last statement that I said, to be at peace with everyone, when you look at some of the great men of the Old Testament that we talk about and that we put in a high esteem, one of the epic people in my own life that I made, he was kind of my man, was Joseph. I mean, that guy was perfect. If there's anyone that was like Jesus Christ, it was him. If there was anyone, and theologians write about Joseph as being like Jesus Christ. I mean, he just was perfect. You know, the woman that tried to grab him and lay with him, he ran. I mean, he just was amazing. But look at his life. He was sold into slavery. And in slavery, he got along with people. How do I know that? I'll tell you, you know how I know that? Because he rose to the top. You don't rise to the top and have an issues with people and have an attitude that you're better than they are and gossiping. You don't rise to the top. Joseph rose to the top. He got along with people. He loved people. He didn't feel better than people. How could he? He was in prison. But then he got up, he got knocked down. You know, had this vision, knocked down, he's in prison again. And what happened? Did he go back to prison? Now he should have an attitude and bitter because he was innocent. I am innocent. It's not right. No, he goes back and he just does what he does. People like him. They come to him. Hey, what does this vision mean? Hey, what does this mean, this dream? And he goes to the top. He becomes second under Pharaoh. I mean, amazing. Amazing. How did he do that? He was at peace with people. Listen, in a very corrupt culture, in a culture full of idols, even the Pharaoh considered himself God, and they had to worship him. Now listen, he rose to the top. Daniel rose to the top. Until they said to him, oh, wait a minute, you've got to go against your faith. See, if someone tells you to sin, no, you don't sin. And you might lose a position because of it. If someone tells you, hey, cheat on this, your boss tells you, cheat on this thing, because I don't want to pay the taxes on this. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't lie and cheat. Okay, that you can be moral. But you get along with people, and you're not arrogant and proud. And that was Daniel. He had principles he lived with. And that nation was one of the most corrupt, sinful nations that ever existed. He got along with them. Why can't you get along at work? Why can't you? Pride. P-R-I-D-E. That's it. We're just full of pride, and we think we're better than, and we're ugly. Lord, thank you. Thank you for making me part of Grace Community, not the Lutheran Church. I mean, it's just all these things we. This last week, I was reading many stories about individuals and listening to some things. Andy Stanley. How many listen to Andy Stanley? Ever listen to him? I love the man. Oh, he is such a sinner. I found that out this last week. Southern Baptists, they can't stand the guy. He entitled a sermon. I didn't listen to the sermon. I wanted to find it. Be the title of the sermon, Pastor Obama. And they came unglued. They came unglued. Carrie said, oh, I listened to that. That was a good sermon. Carrie. What in the world? We're supposed to care about the lost and we're bickering about a title of a sermon? I'll bet they didn't even listen to the sermon. Because in what I read about it and what they were quoting was not anything that was in the message or what the message was about. It was the title, and they put him down for it. Wow, man. Whoo! I've never done that before. I'm so pleased to see my granddaughter awake this week. Okay, what else was I going to say? Oh, Andy Stanley. So Andy Stanley, if you know any of his story, with Charles Stanley, his dad, and they had a kind of a following away, and Andy was pastoring a church that Charles bought, and it was paying all the funds for it, and Andy left all that, and Charles felt like he stabbed him in the back, and he was Absalom. Absalom. I mean, so there was a major rift in their lives. But they knew, both of them knew, it wasn't of God. You see, you can have problems in your life, but don't glory in it and don't blame someone else for what you are and what you're doing. You're a sinner. And they recognize their sin, and they recognize, especially Charles being the dad, and so he kept calling Andy up. Let's go to lunch. And they were taking this Mexican place and have chips and dip. That was they called it their communion together. And they would have that, but the riff was sometimes they would leave there arguing and fussing with each other. And Charles, one day, he said, "Hey, Andy, let's go to a counselor together, see if they can help us." And so, you know, they're both wanting to please God. So Andy goes along with it. And they go to this counselor week after week, month after month. And at some point, Andy was with the counselor. He said to the counselor, How long am I going to have to try to work it out with my dad?" And the counselor, being so wise, said, "As long as your Heavenly Father tries to work it out with you." Now that made me cry. Because that's Christianity. You might have unforgiveness or bitterness. You might have things in your life where you feel better than someone else. But recognize that. Confess that. Get over yourself. Confess your sins. Be on your face and say, "God, forgive me. Forgive me. Have mercy on me." Where's your tank money? Actually, never mind. I just look at the clock. Wait, are there any kids being watched? Oh, yes. Oh, that's right over there. Okay. Don't want to make them mad at me. They're full of pride. Oh, church. Let's be Christian. Let's be followers of Jesus Christ. Let's not be proud of any of our sins. Any of our sins. Anything that's an abomination to the Lord. Let's don't celebrate it. Let's ask for mercy and forgiveness. Stand with me. Next week, I'm going to talk about how to get there. If you miss it, make sure you listen to the internet. How to get to the point of humility and loving others and being at peace with other people. Father, God, we repent. How we need your mercy in our lives. How we need that reality. God, we don't want to be religious. We want to be saved. We want to follow Jesus. And it's been so hard for us to keep our eyes upon Him. And we put it on other people and on other things. And God, I just pray that you would wash us. Cleanse us, that we might focus on you, knowing that you're our salvation and you're our hope. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Say amen real loud. Okay, you're dismissed. Have a great week. Love one another before you go.